This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. I was too hot in my Christmas jumper. I'm sorry. So I've cooled down a bit myself. We're going to just do a little look at the Christmas story as part of the series that we've been doing at the Vineyard over the last few weeks. So we're going to look at a Bible passage, and it'd be great if you had a Bible in front of you. So we've got some Bibles we can give out. If you haven't got one with you, you might have one on your device, you might have brought your own with you, but if you just stick your hand in the air, Colin, and Teresa's just, Colin will, you've done it already. Okay, if anybody needs a Bible, just stick your hand up and Colin will find you. They're free and you're welcome to keep them if you haven't got one. I've been told that I can't tell any Christmas jokes. So, I'm sorry, can't do it. It's going to be a little while. Do you want to take a seat? Yeah. So this is all very spontaneous this morning. We're not at all organized. But Alison's made some great Christmas cakes over the last few weeks, and they all disappeared yesterday. So I had to ring the police and tell them they were stolen. Okay. Did you know that a sixth, one in six, how many of us there are? Probably 60 of us here. So 10 of you, according to reliable research, have written Santa Claus a letter this Christmas. One in six adults write Santa Claus a letter. Or maybe you send him a... You're nodding. You have done. Okay, great. I hope you get what you asked for. seriously, we're going to look at two mysteries in the Christmas story today. Two mysteries that I want to just very quickly dwell on as we come to take communion together and to worship together. Our theme for the last few weeks has been, there is another king. And we've been through various aspects of what that means to worship another king. And we finished today with the theme, there is another king whose kingdom will never end. Whose kingdom will never end. We worship kings and queens today. We all do. Everybody does. Somewhere in their lives, either the king within or the megastar without. Whether we worship the powers of this world or simply a seductive secular worldview. But Jesus came, as the story tells us, as a poor baby, a humble man. But we believe that he's actually the King of Kings, despite that. And he's come to set us free from sin and to break the power of death. And therefore, he is worthy of our worship and of our allegiance. He is the one whose kingdom will never end. Never end. That's an interesting concept, never ending. The whole idea of change. And there's a part of us, isn't there, that doesn't want things to change. We don't like change. If you're not that you would be here in Leeds, but if you were a Manchester United supporter, you might have wished that Alex Ferguson would have carried on as the manager and not changed that. Everybody wants the Queen to keep going, except Prince Philip, perhaps, or Prince Charles. Everyone wants to keep the Queen to keep going. That's stability, isn't it? And she's not very well today, so we pray for her healing. Those of us who are married, we want our spouses to stay faithful. We want things to stay the same, don't we? But then there's a part of us that also want things to change. I mean, the children might... they want Christmas to carry on forever, but then they also want to see their birthdays come. Or part of us would love to see change in the form... We build it into the way we run our country, so we have democratic processes with every few years we have an election, and it guarantees that the leadership of our country changes from time to time. People who live under despotic regimes would love to see change. That's what most of the disputes, the wars around the world are, because people want to see change. If you're in a broken relationship, you want to see change. We were talking to somebody just the other evening who popped in to see us, who's whose marriage is in a terrible state, and they're desperate to see change. They don't want it to carry on as it is. If you're in poor health, or if your finances are awry, you want to see change. Where there's war, we want to see change. We want to see peace. And then there's also a desire to see something in us change, in us. Most of us are not 100% happy with who we are. We're deeply unsatisfied. And there's within all this, there's this longing for something better, for another world, something that will that never ends, but that's really good. There's something in us that knows that that's there. If you think back to 2,000 years ago, when the quiz that we were doing, what the environment was like at the time, when the Christmas story took place, the Israelites had lived under oppressive and corrupt and brutal regimes and for centuries. And that whole area of the world lived under that. Changing empires brought fear and instability. But in their cultural sound waves for the Israeli people were the tunes of ancient promises that there was going to be a good king and his kingdom would never end. That they were hearing that. And he would come and rule forever. And they recounted the stories to each other and whispered the dreams. But deep down, many had given up hope. But into that environment of desperation and longing for change came the angel Gabriel with a message for Mary. Now, I don't know if you've ever met the angel Gabriel. That is a scary thought. Okay, angel Gabriel is big, very bright, fierce, appears out of nowhere, and the inevitable reaction when anybody meets angel Gabriel is petrification. Let's read about it in Luke chapter 1 in your Bibles. If you find Luke chapter 1. So the Bible is the Old Testament, and then on the right-hand side is the New Testament. And the New Testament starts with the four biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're looking at Luke, which is the third one. And right at the very beginning, the very first chapter, the sentences are numbered, and we're starting at number 26. Luke chapter 1. If you're not familiar with the Bible, just look it up in the contents. Luke chapter 1. It says this, in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's an allusion to the story that they've just finished telling, so you can read that another time. But God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. So the story had been about Elizabeth, who lived near Jerusalem, down south, sort of in the home counties. And it says, and God sent the angel Gabriel, who is this hero, immense, angelic figure, up north to Halifax, or somewhere up Barnsley or something. To verse 27, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And unsurprisingly, at that moment, it says Mary was greatly troubled, absolutely petrified, shaking to bits with the appearance of this amazing creature. And she was troubled and at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, because she was afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. What a wonderful sentence to hear said of you. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Did you get that? He will reign over Jacob's descendant forever. His kingdom will never end. The long hoped for dream. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Wow. Even Elizabeth, just in case you don't believe this, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month already. For no word from God will ever fail. Mary's response, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's quite a lot for a young girl to take in, don't you think? She's probably 14, 15 years old. I doubt if that ever happened before. And when she was brushing her teeth after breakfast this morning, I doubt if she thought these two mysterious things were going to happen in her life. One, to be told she was pregnant. And two, to be told that he was going to be the king whose kingdom would never end. That's a bit of a start to the day. As a good Jewish girl, she would have been really aware of the hopes and promises about the king who was to come, whose kingdom would never end. Being pregnant was bad enough. Being pregnant with this long-anticipated Messiah that they'd all been waiting for was crazy, mind-bending. Mary, along with all of us, longs for a new kingdom where the order of things is shuffled about, where we're ruled by God, a good God, an all-powerful king. Let's just have a, if you turn right in your Bible to the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the last couple of chapters. So when she's thinking about this kingdom that will never end, and when Gabriel is making that promise, the Bible gives us some pictures of what that might look like. We can't really understand because it's our minds, which are finite minds, and it's words. But we get a little bit of picture about it. Revelation chapter 21, right at the end, nearly the last bit of the book. And it's telling the closing story. It's a great couple of chapters. And these verses are some of my favorite in the whole of the Bible. Verse 3, chapter 21 of Revelation. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. He's not a distant God, a deistic God, a God who's not interested in us, a God who doesn't take much notice and is probably angry and whom we have to pacify and please. This is a God who comes and dwells among us. And that's why we pray, come Holy Spirit, because we want him to come and be among us. Verse 3, end of verse 3. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Wow. And I love this bit. Verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Isn't that the deepest longing of everybody's heart? For a kingdom to come that will ever end, where there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. And the old order of things has passed away. It's a vision of the future which we all long for. It's a promise of a better world to come. Now, I just want to put that picture, I hope you got in your mind, of these two mysteries of this virgin girl being pregnant with at all. That's a mystery, the virgin birth. Think about that. And also this mystery that the king is going to be a king who will rule forever. Never ending in this wonderful kingdom. And I want to wrap those ideas around our time of communion together and explain our communion in that context. The Bible often talks about food and drink and meals. It's one of the ongoing metaphors throughout Scripture of what it's like to be with God. So it starts, you remember the Exodus story when they're about to leave Egypt? They all have the meal together, the Passover, which is celebrated. And some of you may be familiar with Psalm 23, for the Lord is my shepherd. And it finishes with, you prepare a table for me, a banquet. The prophets, Isaiah, talks about, come and drink, come and eat. It's free, come and join in, eat at the banquet. Jesus was always eating with people, good people and bad people. He was always having meals. And there was something about being around him that was like a meal. There was a meal all the time. There was food and drink. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life, he said. And we're invited, when we take communion, to look forward to a mysterious future when the king reigns forever. But we also get to know him today. And that's why we do this today, as a memory of what he did 2,000 years ago and as a promise of what's to come, the banquet and the meal that's to come. Perhaps that's the most exciting mystery hidden in the meals that God gives us today is this promise, this expectation that one day we will eat a meal with him. What a thought. Christmas dinner in the kingdom of God with Jesus carving the turkey. Do you think they have turkeys in heaven? They're quite ugly. Don't know. But that's why we share communion together as a reminder. It's one of the reasons we share communion together as a reminder of the promise of the banquet to come. That amazing day will come when the kingdom will be here in all its fullness, and there will be no more pain or sorrow or weeping, and the people of God instead will be shouting, a kingdom that never ends. If you've got Revelation 21, just move back to chapter 19. This is what the people of God will be shouting in that time. Verse 6 of chapter 19, it says, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come.'" This is full of poetic and apocalyptic imagery about the Lamb. I haven't got time to explain that now. But it's about a wedding feast. The bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And then the angel said to me, verse 9. Don't worry, Sandra's a good friend of ours. Then the angel said, verse 9, write this. "Blessed are those who are invited." Listen. "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." These are the true words of God. So Mary was startled to meet the angel, probably somewhat disconcerted to be told she was mysteriously pregnant. And she'd have been astonished to think that she'd been chosen to be the agent by which this mysterious king, whose reign would never end, would intervene in the world. But her response is instructive. It's how do we respond to God's word to us in whatever way it comes? She had this incredible experience. What's her? Is it, thanks, Gabriel, but I've got other plans for my life. I'm about to get engaged, and I want to get engaged as a virgin. Thank you very much. I want to get married as a virgin, and I want to be a housewife in Nazareth. She doesn't say, I've got my own plans, my own career in place. Neither does she say, okay, Gabriel, let me just think about that. Or the way we would do it, I'll just pray about that. That's what we say. She said, "May it be to me as you have said." Hers was a humble acceptance of the king, and we'll sing about that later. So there is another king whose kingdom will never end, and we are invited to eat at the banqueting table. We worship kings and queens today. Everybody does, somewhere in their lives, whether the king within or the megastar without, whether the powers of this world or simply seductive world views. But Jesus came as a poor baby, as a humble man. And we believe that despite that, he is actually the King of Kings who has come to set us free from sin and break the power of death. And therefore, he is worthy of our worship and our humble allegiance. He is one whose kingdom will never end. And we are invited to eat at his banqueting table. So we're going to turn to worship in a moment. And then towards the end of the worship, I'm going to come back and introduce you to the communion, and we're invited to take part in that. I'll explain how that works then. But as we go and come into worship, Ben, do you want to come and get wired in? As we turn to worship, we're going to use just three or four songs to give us an opportunity to focus on Jesus, on these incredible mysteries. And there may be other things on your mind, but I'd encourage you to dwell on these two mysteries about this the way God intervened in our world to bring a humble baby to birth from a virgin of 14 or 15 years old. And through that occasion, we have this king who's going to reign forever, whose kingdom will never end. Two amazing mysteries. We'd like to dwell on that as we worship the king and as we speak our hopes and fears to him. And then as we worship together, I'll come back in a little while and walk us through communion. Would you like to stand and I'll pray? Lord, Lord Jesus, we come to you humbly, saying, may it be, we don't understand all these mysteries. They sound, amazing. But they tap into those deep longings of our heart. So we come to you with our brokenness, with our hopes and fears and doubts and thanks and praise. And we want to turn to you in these songs and contemplate the mysteries before us.